Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
I will dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by my co-host Katrere, and we are actually even hoping for an appearance from our other co-host who hasn't been on in a very, very long time, Craig. He didn't actually say he was going to do the show. He did ask for the number, so we'll see what happens. But before we get to the show real quick, I just want to say that this show is dedicated to the memory of one of our biggest and best fans that we ever had of this show, and that is Matt Clary. This show is for you, brother. And so, anyway, Couture, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
These days after WrestleMania, you doing fine?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
That's good to hear. I'm doing fine. I probably have way too much sugar in my blood after this past weekend, and I have another big weekend in front of me coming up. So hopefully I will survive it and be able to come back on the air once again. Who knows when? Probably like in 4 months or so.
Since, we got a call.
God, I can't believe it. I'm actually extremely happy. We are joined by our other co-host, Craig. Craig, how are you doing? It's been a long time since you've been on the show.
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm leaving for a Shimmer weekend in the morning. So I went from one crazy weekend to hopefully another one. But I take it you survived WrestleMania weekend.
I'm also here.
I did introduce you.
Well, not to me.
Oh, yeah, Craig. Couture's here.
Hi, Chris. How's it going?
What's going on, Craig? I missed
hey,
the deep,
time no
deep voice.
Well, you can hear me every Tuesday evening on the Brian, Vinny, and Craig show, you know.
Yeah, but Brian and
we
Vinny
miss
are on
you.
There, so.
Oh, Brian. Vinny's all right.
Yeah, that's true.
But what I figured we could do, since me and Craig were both there at WrestleMania and we did many different things, we'll just talk about what we did during our day for the days that we were there, and then we'll get into the big reviews of the show. And I think that'll make for a fun show. So I think we both got into New Orleans on Thursday. And Craig, why don't you tell us about your WrestleMania Thursday?
excuse me. I'm kind of laid low on Thursday. Got there pretty early in the morning and spent the whole morning afternoon with Scott, Mr. Highlife, for those of you that know him, and set up for the Q&A. We went and got we basically we just did work. We went to Guitar Center. We ended up at Costco. We just all over the place setting up the room, making sure the equipment was working properly, and had a good time with Tony. Found out some of the ins and outs of the business that is Figure Four Weekly, because I don't ask a lot of questions. I just like to get my check. So, you know what I mean? So,
yep.
Went and grabbed Brian in the evening and then headed out to WrestleCon, the WrestleCon Super Show, where we ran into Rodney and Junior Horseman and Pete and many others. And good show at WrestleCon. One of the highlights was the 35th anniversary of the Andy Kaufman angle, which ended up with Joey Ryan's penis on fire. So that was fun. Always a treat seeing Jerry Lawler. The wrestling was good. There was
so basically
a,
Jim Cornette was not involved in this angle.
No. And he was not, hopefully not asked about it either. There was an amazing, possibly one of the best matches of the weekend. There was a lucha tag that featured Rey Fénix and Rey Ores versus El Bandito and this other luchador, who I can't remember his name now.
Was it Flamita or was it somebody else?
Ah, there it is. Flamita, yes, you're correct. This match was insanely good. I've never been to a show where actually Americans are throwing money into the ring at the luchadors. There was, what do you say, Ed, maybe $70 worth of $1 bills in the ring?
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if there were 20s and 10s in there. I've kind of seen that at Wrestle Circus, and the wrestlers, when they do get the money, they get a nice bonus because it's really not all ones. So hopefully they got some extra money. And, yeah, the match was actually insane, one of my favorites of the weekend.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, that was a great show. The main event was a little disappointing as the Best Friends were down a man and they were replaced by Flip Gordon, who for some reason the indie fans actually hate the man. Not sure why. He does a lot of flips, as his name suggests. And it was fine. It was a fine match. It wasn't off the charts good, but honestly, I don't think Trent would have done that much better. Maybe a little bit, but not that much better.
I think they would have done way more for the comedy than having a serious match had Trent been there. So I actually had to miss that match. But I'll start with my day. I got to New Orleans, easy flight from Texas, hour and a half. And as soon as I got there, I checked in, and you guys were finishing eating, but I just got there and had to get my first po' boy of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good.
Shrimp po' boy?
My first bowl of gumbo.
Shrimp po' boy?
Yes, shrimp po' boy. Yes, sir. Yes, shrimp po' boy. There was this place like right down. It was in our
right
hotel.
Next door.
It was on the block of our hotel. And it was literally next door, and it was like this world-famous po' boy spot, and it was pretty legit.
The crawfish here, it's crawfish season, so we got a crawfish place here in Dallas, and I'll always go out there because they got some real good po' boys and stuff when I get some crawfish to boil. So.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's making me hungry. So, anyway, after that, I went to check on the room when you guys got back, and Craig did a lot of my probably work I should have been doing since I was one of the guys behind the whole Q&A. Ed and San Antonio Productions, you know, I'm the president. I got my vice president, Scott, and then we have our assistant,
mm-hmm.
Rodney, and then we have our janitor, JJ. The room, I mean, I was blown away by the room. The room was, like, way bigger than I thought. I mean, there was plenty of space for everything, and we had everything set up. And when I had first ran into the crew at the sandwich shop, I was like, why are Craig and Scott and JJ sitting with a vagrant? And it turned out it was Ed and Tony.
Who
looked like I did before I got clean shaved for my trip. So at least, you know, I tried a little bit. I don't know what Tony's excuse was.
I thought you were
Tony's awesome.
Picture on Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Right? It was awesome, right?
it looked like you might have a bomb strapped to your chest or something in that first picture.
Yeah, I got that a lot. People have been saying that a lot. Yeah. I don't understand why. But after that, met up with Rodney and Junior Horseman and Pete, who was very important on this day because Pete was being my hookup and got me my gimmicks that I needed to survive the weekend. So shout out to Pete. He's awesome. So we went through – the first show we did was Wildcat, which is a local show, and they featured local talent, some dude named the Flamenco. He had a pink outfit. Like, I didn't know flamingos were dangerous, but I guess you got to find a gimmick somewhere. But it featured people like also featured the Hurricane was on this show. Stevie Richards was on this show. Hardcore Holly was on this show. And the badass Billy Gunn was on this show. So interesting kind of lineup. It was a fun little show. I mean, nothing great or spectacular. I think I saw her rushing out, but she was surrounded. But Paige was actually there because her father and brother actually wrestled on this show. So it was a decent show, and then they threw us all out. So we all had to go out, and then we had to go back around and get in line because this was the WrestleCon show. And, yes, the tag team match was fantastic. The Joey Ryan thing was spectacular. If you can go out of your way, I'd find that. Basically, Joey Ryan was great. He did the whole Andy Kaufman spiel and everything, and Jerry Lawler was great. And then, like I say, the penis caught on fire. But in the end, Joey Ryan did say that his penis was fine. So
yes,
hopefully no damage to. Yeah. You know, that's a lot. Hey, if he loses that gimmick, that's a lot of money.
That's true.
That's a lot of money.
It's his livelihood.
But they also had an awesome. They always have a 10-man tag match, and this one was intergender, where you had a bunch of really good guys. That MJ, I forget what his name is, but you know what you're talking about, Craig. That dude's got talent. He's got a future.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a young Miz, maybe even better.
Yeah.
He was great, yeah. And then that was an awesome little match. And unfortunately, I had to leave to go to Beyond as soon as Minoru Suzuki came out. So I was already pissed that ROH hadn't announced him because that forced me to go to Rough Pro to make sure I saw him. And then had I not left for Beyond, I would have got to have seen him, you know, the first time. So it still would have saved me a trip. So anyway, I went to Beyond. Beyond was all intergender. And basically I got there and sat with Shotzi Blackheart, and we just watched a bunch of cool matches like the return of Mia Yim and quite a few other things that was pretty cool. So left from there, got that show finished like at 3, and then came back chilled, and then we started our Friday. So, Craig, what did you do on Friday?
Oh, boy. First thing in the morning, got up and headed down to the Q&A. Oh, let me rewind just a little bit. Tom Lawler contacted me and said, hey, come hold the banner for me when I do my Bloodsport show. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I said, I'll get back to you. And then, God is my witness, I forgot to get back to him. So when he asked me
about it,
that's
an MMA fighter, Craig.
Understood. And he's going to be here tomorrow. So for Defy, maybe I'll hold the banner for him then. But anyway, I completely spaced because I was helping set up the room. So later on that day, we went and fetched Tom and brought him back into town. Anyway, so got down to the room and was given the task of handing out the tickets, which was fine, and got everybody shuffled into the room and set up and had a good Q&A with Brian and Dave. Apparently it's doing very well on their site.
Oh, is it on there? Is it like where somebody can go watch it or something?
Yeah, it's on the video feed on F4W videos, I think it is. You can access
gotta pay
it on
money.
The site. I think
you
it's
can,
$2 or $3.99.
They do have the audio for up there too, so
yeah,
you don't have to watch it.
Yeah.
You can either, and that one you know, you did, that's not extra,
it.
But
it ain't no big deal.
But Tony set up a good setup. The way the camera would shift to where, like, if somebody came up to ask a question, I thought Tony did aces.
Yeah, it's he set up the camera originally with for the Brian and Vinny shows as well, and then we hired Rob for the shows to just come in and produce them real quick. But it's doing gangbusters on the site, so they're going to parlay that into doing like, you know, two or three a year. The next one being at All In, there's a scoop for you. And then also the Cow Palace, scoop number two.
They dedicated. If I would know I was just going to go home and watch WrestleMania at home, I probably wouldn't even go. You know, he dedicates us, flies all the way there, and then goes back for the big show.
Oh, they cracked me up because they would come into a show, you know, two or three matches in and then sit down. And then, you know, a big crowd would gather around them, which is funny because I'd hear people, you know, next to me as I'm sitting in a crowd. Oh, there's that Meltzer guy. He just knows everything. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, Brian. And just, you know, totally bagging on him. And I'm just sitting there quietly, you know, taking all this information in. I just keep my mouth shut and I have to smile and laugh.
It's so
and Scott and. Yeah, Scott and I are nudging each other, you know. Anyway. Anyway, the Q&A went off pretty good. I honestly didn't pay attention. Just to be honest, I was, you know, goofing off with Tom and Sinbad and Rodney and Horseman and watching Shotzi walk around in her very tiny skirt. Thank you for that, Ed.
Well, I actually had emailed all of it, and I'm like, well, it's early. I don't expect you to get dressed up. Just look cool. And I sent that to three of the four, and I'm glad I didn't send it to Shotzi because Shotzi looked out of this freaking world.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan. I don't usually like girls with tats. I'll make an exception for her. Anyway.
Yeah, you got to get Matt the Booker and you can hang out with her in person again.
I don't think I haven't. Anyway. So from there, 4 o'clock, we actually went and got some lunch. And then 4 o'clock came, went down to Rev Pro, saw Minoru Suzuki against Jeff Cobb, which was pretty spectacular. Saw Will Ospreay in three matches that weekend. What a trooper that guy is. I don't know how serious his neck injury is, but every time he landed, I know the whole crowd cringed. It didn't matter, you know, what match he was in. Saw some New Japan guys, saw some Rev Pro guys. It was a fun show. It wasn't as awesome as I thought it was going to be, but it was good. From there, Scott and I got in the car and with JJ and a couple other people, and we ended up at the WWN live show. And I know this is going to sound horrible because Ed hates the man, but Gabe does a good job putting on shows. He does a good job in marketing his shows. With that said, I was bored for about 3/4 of this show. I didn't know anybody in the matches. They weren't important to me. Nothing special going on. Until Keith Lee came out and had a really fun match. And then the main event was Matt Riddle and Will Ospreay. And they had probably my second favorite match of the weekend. Just an awesome, awesome spectacle. And as Ed stated, got kicked out of the WWN show and then turned around and waited in line. And then it was time for the most unusual thing I had done well in a long time. It was Joey Janela's Spring Break. And what a bunch of weirdos that this guy collected. There was one match that you need to go out of your way to see, and that was Walter against the Quebecer.
Pierre?
This match? Yeah, Pierre.
John Pierre Lafitte, the pirate.
Yeah, they beat the crap out of each other. At one point, this 50-year-old Quebecer missed a moonsault, or actually went for a moonsault, and it was from the post to the floor. And it looked like he killed himself. And Walter's chest, Walter and him exchanged chops to the point where the Quebecer was bleeding. I thought he had a tattoo on his chest, which he does. But over the tattoo is now this huge hematoma that is built up in between his pecs and on the right pec. They beat the snot out of each other, and it was awesome. So that was another match you need to go out of your way to see.
It still matched the
and
song.
Then, I'm sorry?
Did the Not the Mountie song, did you come into that?
He did not.
Oh, I left this.
And then they did this this match called the Cluster F. I will not finish the word. I saw some things that I'm not going to be able to unsee. I saw the Invisible Man. The Invisible Man, Couture, tap out Hornswoggle.
Who was booking Disco Inferno?
Let me repeat that. The Invisible Man tapped out Hornswoggle. And then more people hit the ring. It was like a battle. It was like a Royal Rumble style match. People forgot about the Invisible Man, BC, because he's invisible. And then he came in and was involved with the finish. One of the wrestlers foolishly pile drove the Invisible Man, which is illegal in Louisiana, by the way. And he was disqualified.
And the real, he was disqualified by the real, commissioner.
Commission?
That was on site. The real commissioner came running down to the ring and had him ejected for using the pile driver and was the, and
that's
was eliminated. That's brilliant. They had the real guy do it.
I mean,
it was
this idea that you can't do a pile driver in Louisiana. It's dumb.
No one understood.
Well, you know what, though?
Louisiana either.
Well, you know, there was a lot of wrestlers on social media freaking out about this because of all these rules they had. And really what they mainly enforced was the pile driver and crowd brawling. You could do the flips and everything else for the most part and power bombs and stuff. But all these wrestlers were freaking out. To me, it didn't make a damn difference no matter what show I was at. The wrestling was so good.
Yeah.
They worked around this stupid rule with the pile driver because they're indie shows, and indie shows use a lot of pile drivers. But these guys were professionals, and I have no complaints about there not being no pile drivers at all.
And
in
it
fact,
was funny,
if there
too,
were pile
because
drivers,
it's kind of silly because, you know, it's easy to do safe pile driver. I mean, it's not a big deal, I don't think. You know.
The funny thing is, it built up anticipation because somebody, like in an indie show, would go for a pile driver and the crowd would be like, oh, and then, like, he would get backdropped out of it or something. So it actually worked into the storyline of their match in numerous cases. So it actually added to the drama that was in the ring.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Invisible Man ended up winning the Cluster F.
Was the Evil Architect Bill Dean, was he in this match too?
He was not. The Evil Architect did not show up. Unfortunately.
Alabama Doink did.
Alabama Doink was there. Yes, that is true.
The Gay Vampire Count Out was not there?
No.
I don't remember that.
Mikey Whipwreck did make an appearance. Mikey's been eating well. Good for him.
he did good for 40 seconds.
Yeah. And
then you got tired.
And then it was, great Sasuke versus Joey Janela, and they did every stupid thing that you could ever think of. There was Joey crashed through chairs. There was tables that wouldn't cooperate. There was a garbage can at one point that wouldn't cooperate with Sasuke. And that match and that show ended at 3:30 in the morning.
Gosh.
So I had literally been up almost, you know, like 20 hours. And I was like, all right.
By the time you're just looking for a bed.
Exactly. Like, I guess the show itself actually ended at almost 4. But as soon as the pin was counted, I'm like, we're out. And, you know, and we're racing for the cars. But I probably won't go to Spring Break 3 next year. But that's another story for another time.
It was a struggle for me just to sit through 7 hours of WrestleMania. I got this one.
I ain't kidding, brother.
Good job. Y'all know y'all had it worse.
Yeah. I think my show total was 8 in 4 days.
Yeah. At least I can make some stuff, you know.
So my Friday started with me going down to the room for the Q&A, and you know, I wanted to make it as memorable as possible and just not be just plain boring stupid. So I hired a few girls to come and hand out donuts and sell the sodas and sell the raffle tickets. So we had Leva Bates, old blue pants. We had Shotzi Blackheart, who we talked about in her magnificent dress, and then we also had an up and coming newcomer named Miranda. She was in the Mae Young Classic and also did a tour of Stardom right after. And then we had one of my personal favorite wrestlers, Valentina Loca, who has a long way to go. She's still very, very new to the sport and has a long way to go. But I just love her passion and her drive. And she's probably the only wrestler in the world shorter than Brian that's not a mini. And so we had them there. I had my old friend Cherry Brown. She was going by her real name, Brittany. She's been doing announcing for different wrestling promotions around the Louisiana area. And I had her kind of hosting
the
show.
The one that was on
the
show when we were reading the Women's WrestleMania?
Yes, yes. The burlesque dancer. Yeah, she was there. And we also got Joey Janela. We got him and his girlfriend to make an appearance and plug their show. And, of course, that was one of the first things she did. And she misset his name. And people on the board are, like, complaining about that. But I thought that was actually pretty funny. So I thought the Q&A went off great and everything. After the Q&A, we went to Ref Pro. And Craig, did you partake in that food truck that was outside of the WrestleCon venue?
I did not.
Well, you made a big mistake, my friend, because I went and got me a $10 hamburger, which I'm thinking, I'm paying $10 for a hamburger. This better be a damn good hamburger. And then some duck fried fat French fries or something. Anyway, I was about to walk into to Ref Pro with my food, and I took a bite of just the French fries, and I was like, fuck that. I need to sit down, and I'm going to enjoy my food. So I missed the first two matches because I just enjoyed that hamburger and those duck fat fried French fries. They were incredible. So anyway, Ref Pro, like I said, I missed the first two matches, so I mainly caught the good stuff. And the six-man they had was great. It was great to see Ibushi. It was great to see Tanahashi and his glorious hair. And it was awesome to see Ibushi. And then the person that I had to see more than anybody over the weekend, I finally got to see live, Minoru Suzuki.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just incredible, seeing this, the most meanest, evilest, sadistic, scariest man who ever lived, fucking beat that crap out of Jeff Cobb. And
awesome.
I've seen very few people no-sell Matanza. And Minoru Suzuki's like, fuck it, I'm not selling shit. But they had an awesome match, so I highly enjoyed Ref Pro. That was great. Ishii and Zack Sabre had an incredible match, and Ishii even won the RevPro title, which was, to me, a surprise. And so we went from RevPro, and then, let's see, what did I do? Oh, Spring Break was the next show that I did. And like Craig said, it was a crazy show. Walter, his chest wasn't even red. It was pure black.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, but they beat the crap out of each other. One thing that was super entertaining is just watching Craig's reaction to this couple in front of us, this very large woman and her hippie-looking boyfriend, and the looks Craig would give him, because this guy he was either bitching about everything or way too overly excited about nothing. And Craig just...
It was like...
Oh, my God.
He was like, everything that he thought in his head, it was important for him to say out loud. He was that guy. Everything he thought, he said out loud. Oh, God, he just annoyed me so much. I wanted to punch him in his head. Anyway.
Yeah, so that part of the show was awesome, too. And then...
Our friend James, who lives in Louisiana, apparently he had been to the Spring Break before, so he came in a large luau-type shirt and hat and was passing out little drink coasters shaped like flamingos and straws for your cup with umbrellas in them. There was inflatable rafts and alligators.
Alligators?
Yeah.
Papa Hales was wearing a muumuu.
There was a muumuu, the thing that Homer would not, when he was, trying to get fat so he didn't have to go to work. And Bart said, hey, man, Mom said you couldn't go out of the house in your dress. Nuts to that. I'm feeling free and fancy. Anyway, Spring Break was, the crowd was as entertaining as what was going on in the ring. Continue, Ed. I apologize.
Yeah, no problem. So yeah, it was crazy matches, crazy show. I got very lucky because I didn't have a car, so I was kind of depending on Rodney and Scott, but they weren't going to be at every show I was going to be in, or I wasn't, like, I didn't go with Scott, so basically his car was full, so I couldn't ride back with Scott. But a few weeks before, Ken Hesser, good brother Ken Hesser, had messaged me and sent me a picture of a card of a lady, older lady, who was an Uber and Lyft driver, but she also worked on the side. So I contacted her, and I set up my ride, like, the first night from WrestleCon to Beyond, and then Beyond to back. It was a straight fare of $30, which
nice.
I think it was 100 one way after the Spring Break show on Friday. So I saved a lot of money because thanks to Ken Hesser. But on the Friday show, I had her drop me off at the show, and then I had her go to the airport to pick up Hudson Envy, who her ride had ditched on her right before she got on the plane. So I told her to go, and she took her to the hotel, and then the hotel was right next door to the show, so she went to the show. So after Spring Break, me and Hudson Envy hit Bourbon Street, and we stayed out drinking until about 6:30 in the morning. We ran into your buddy Jeremy, and he had this awesome drink in his hand, James Vanderbeek, and we asked him where he got the drink, so we went to where he got the drink, and it was like a skull-shaped glass. It had a blue drink in it with a jalapeno garnish, and it had all these lights inside of it, so it was like a acid trip kind of a thing. It was awesome. And so me and Hudson were drinking, and Bourbon Street during the week, they don't keep, like, they don't pick up the trash as much as they do in the weekends
because
it was pretty dirty. And it's about 6 in the morning, so it's kind of shady at this time. I had some old man ask me if I wanted some cocaine. He should have caught me a few years ago. So anyway, normally I would have been kind of scared and nervous walking around this neighborhood, but I was with Hudson Envy, so I had no fear because, nobody was going to fuck with her. And shit. So we had a good old time and then ate, and we ran into Willie Mack, and Moose and Eddie Edwards and a few other guys after the Impact show. And they were all fucking drunk off their fucking asses. But we ate, and then that was the end of the night, and I guess I had been up for 24 hours straight at that point. So that was Friday, so let's go to Saturday. So what did you do on Saturday, Craig?
Saturday, I laid low. I was going to go to the Shimmer show, but we got screwed out of tickets, but that's another story for another time. I was supposed to get some comps, and I'd actually promised a couple to a buddy of mine that does a radio morning show here in Seattle, and well, we didn't get our comps, so hey, thanks a lot, but I'm not bitter. So I was laying low, and I obviously caught up on my sleep because I went to bed at a ridiculous hour of the morning for a then 45-year-old man and a newly found grandfather as well. So grandpas aren't supposed to go to bed at 4 o'clock.
You're a grandfather?
Anymore. I'm a grandfather as of 2 weeks ago.
This makes me think how old I am. Jesus.
And then I turned 46.
I'm not even close to having a kid that could have a kid, so I'd be a grandfather. So that's
And I turned 46 on Sunday. So there you go.
I think I turned 43 or 44. I just lose count when he gets this high. So
sure.
I don't know how old I am.
Anyway, grandpas are supposed to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning. So I slept in. And I didn't really honestly have anything to do until ROH. I was gonna venture out and see the city a little bit, and then Brian hit me up and said, you want to go to Access? And truthfully, I really didn't want to go to Access. But he's like, come on, we go to Access. I can get media passes, and we can just do whatever we want. I said, fine. So got an Uber, went down to Access, and walked around. Saw a couple of, saw about three NXT matches, maybe four. Listened to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat take questions from the crowd, which was not as painful as it could have been. But it was cool to see him up close. Shook hands with the man after the words. Very, very well done at the way they handled the little arena at Access. Saw the Evolve Tag Champions. They were on the show. And then we had passed a Ruth Chris Steakhouse, which is a very high-end steakhouse. They have them all over the country. The last time I was there, it was for an anniversary. I got a $55 porterhouse steak. That was amazing. Oh, it's the best thing you've ever seen. Oh. So anyway, Brian's like, let's get lunch. And I said, yeah, what do you want? And I'm thinking we can go to the casino. They've got a buffet. There's some Malutes, which has great seafood. He goes, I want to go to Ruth Chris. I said, absolutely not. I'm not paying that much money for a steak. It's way too much. So we're kind of arguing. He says, actually, I could put it on the figure four card and expense it. I said, let's go get a steak. So, As we're walking there, we walk by this guy, and I look at him, and we get a couple more steps, and he's going the other way, and I hit Brian. I said, hey, is Okada in New Orleans? And he goes, no. I said, are you sure? And he said, why? And I said, I'm pretty sure we just walked by Okada. Brian looks down the road, and Ed, as God is my witness, he marked out and ran down the street and threw a crosswalk and met Okada in the center of the street in the meeting, turned him around and shook his hand and said, I'm from the Figure Four Wrestling Observer. And Okada's eyes grew wide because they had just done an interview with him. And then I come up a little bit later. And sure enough, it was Okada. He was in town to see Nakamura, quote unquote, win the title.
He was just
more on that later. More on that later. So So we went and got a great steak. I took it easy on Brian. I did not buy a $55 porterhouse. I went easy on him.
I would have bought two.
Is there actually a credit card that says figure four on it?
Yeah, because I know that because he
no,
paid the guy.
No, it says Wrestling Observer.
No, it says Figure Four Weekly. And I know this because we went out of the restaurant. Brian went to call his wife and talk to his child, and the waiter came up and handed me something, and I looked at it, and it was Brian's card that he left on the table.
That's funny.
And so when he got done talking, I said, hey, buddy, do you forget this? And he goes, oh, geez. Well, it wouldn't be the first time. So I just kept my mouth shut. So then we went back to Access for a few minutes, watched a few more matches, and then came back and then hit the ROH show. The building was incredible. This was not an indie show. This was a big deal. They had big screens. They had pyro. They had confetti cannons. They had an amazing sound system. This was not an indie show. And it was a good show.
Difficulty.
Oh, did they?
That's what I just read a headline. Like they had some technical difficulties on the show or something.
Oh, no. I know the show went long.
I think shows that weekend had something going on. I know the WWN live shows were having problems. I don't know how if they were showing the WrestleCon shows, but there were a lot of issues. There were just so many people trying to watch these shows.
I don't think it was as bad as the RA shows in the, you know, back from the dark period where you couldn't watch over
right.
The pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But it was a real fun show. The ladder match was pretty insane. Watching Flip Gordon actually trip and fall from the post to the floor onto his back was one of the scarier things I've ever seen. The man is so sure-footed, and to see him screw up like that was unreal. But that ladder match was nuts. The Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes match was very good. The main event was actually very good, but again, you're looking at your watch and it's like, you know, 10 after 12, 12:30. Most of these people have been up, you know, since the crack of dawn watching wrestling all day, and it's just burned out. And, got back to the hotel about 2 o'clock in the morning again. And, that was Saturday.
Great. That was burned out watching the Hall of Fame Friday night. Good God.
I can see that.
I said Hillbilly Jim killed that show.
That's what I heard.
Did he just go on and on, or what happened with Hillbilly
long.
Jim?
He just went. He said he's going to be short, and he went like 45 minutes.
Oh,
damn.
I don't have nothing against him, but it's like 45 minutes of nothing, you know? So,
Well, I'm glad I
took
breaks
during some of the speeches and when played Far Cry 5. And then I went back to it, so, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, so my Saturday started with, I actually did get to go to Shimmer because luckily I'm in San Antonio and I have some pull and I got some front row seats that we had to be kind of tricky about because basically Sal and Gay both apparently hate me. So... basically, we had Doc G pay for the tickets, and then the tickets were sent to Siteswipe. So my name was not involved, even though Doc G screwed up and said my name, and we almost lost our tickets. But luckily, Siteswipe was able to. No, they're for me. I don't know why he said that. But anyway, I enjoyed the Shimmer show. Dave Prazak was one of the promoters that was. He basically told all the girls that they're going to follow every rule. So basically, they were even a little more handicapped than all the guys because they couldn't do anything on the list, but they still had a great show. there was this technical, it's one of the best technical matches I've seen between Madison Eagles and Deanna Perazzo. The whole match was just them working the arms back and forth, and very, really different compared to everything else from that weekend. And, you know, my plan worked. You know, my plan was to, one of the tag title match was Leva Bates and Delilah Doom against Hudson Envy and Mephisto. So my evil plan worked. I got Hudson all, took her out all night, got her drunk, and the babyface were able to score the win on Hudson because she just wasn't in the proper condition because, you know, of all the alcohol from the night before. But really, really awesome show. Tessa and Chazza had an awesome match, and it was a fun show. We had a good time, and then we went to ROH, and it was actually pouring when we got there. It was
raining
a lot. Yeah. Luckily, it had stopped by the time we left. But yes, this show went on and on and on. I mean, because I was expected to be out of there by 11. You know, I wasn't expecting another hour and a half, you know. Mm-hmm. And I thought 11 was at the longest it would go. So, but, and then they screwed up and put, like, a lot of shows, the way they worked their lineups were horrible because the main event, while good, and the crowd was hot in spots, they were dead for a lot of it because they were just so exhausted from the ladder match and then Cody and Omega, which was an incredible match. And and Brandy, oh, my God, Brandy's just so goddamn hot. Cody's like the luckiest man in the world. So that was a good show. Afterwards, me, Rodney, and the Horseman went to this Chinese sushi place after that was open late. And that was pretty cool, but it was a long day for wrestling that day. I think my body was starting to get a little tired after the first two long days, and it was just like I'm not a young man anymore. My body has its limits.
Understood.
Yeah. And before we went to Shimmer, we went to this other Cajun place because I ate so much New Orleans Cajun food. It was crazy. And it had some really good food before. And then so that leads us to Sunday. And I'll go ahead and go first this time since I'm already talking.
Sure.
So Sunday, I had got some extra tickets. So I had got, you know, a ticket for Blue Pants, a ticket for Chotzi. And I was going to give the other two girls that helped out at the Q&A tickets, but one left, had to leave early, and then another one hurt her ankle the day before and just wanted to stay and ice it down. So I had me two extra tickets. So I'm thinking, who can I offer these tickets to, or do I just sell them outside the thing? So I remembered one of the girls that I'm really cool with is from Scotland. Her name's Kaylee Ray. So I just messaged her, and I was like, hey, you know, I got an extra ticket. You're interested? And she's like, yeah, actually, me and my friend were just about to order tickets. And I was like, well, you know, if you want to go, you can have them. So we went and had our brunch at the Quarter Two Sisters, which was had some awesome food, had some awesome turtle soup, which I thought was fantastic, and some crayfish and just a lot of other stuff and a lot of dessert. And poor Rodney, he was so worried about everything. He didn't eat till pretty much everybody was done because he was standing by the door waiting for people to come in. And some people didn't make it, so he was waiting and waiting and waiting.
Yeah.
But Rodney did a great job with the whole thing, setting it up and doing all the legwork and everything for the thing. So shout out to Rodney for that. And we had a good old time. Peach Machine showed up. It was the first time we ran into Peach Machine, or I did that weekend, so it was cool seeing him. And then
same.
A whole bunch of other people were there, and it was one thing that was funny is there's a guy who's gone to like the last few things. His name is John, but he looks very similar to this guy named Chris in Las Vegas. So he got there, and I guess he somehow had got by Rodney. So Rodney hadn't seen him. So Rodney's like, "Who's that guy over there?" Like he called me, and he's like, "Oh, that's, you know, he's been around." So I was blanking on his name. And Ronnie's like, well, go over there and ask him his name. I go, dude, I'm not going to go over there and ask a guy who I've met many times what his name is. You're making me look like an asshole. So basically, I waited till Ronnie came back, and I looked at the list, and then I was like, it's John, it's John. It's just, I thought that was pretty funny. JJ had to break something. I don't know, he knocked something over and broke some glass and caused the peach machine to cut his finger. But, yeah, the brunch was great. So then I went to meet Kaylee Ray at the hotel, and she had pulled up in a car, so she ran into the lobby, and I gave her the tickets, and I could see there was another girl in the passenger seat, because I didn't know if she was, her boyfriend's a wrestler, I didn't know if she was going to bring him or what. So I see a girl with dark hair, I'm thinking, wow, maybe it's Will Ospreay's girlfriend. You know, I know they're friends. So anyway, so in, a little bit after that, I smoked a blunt with Peach out on my balcony, because I had a balcony in my room, one of my requirements. And a flag, right, American flag right in front of my balcony, so I basically had the Jim Duggan room. And that was pretty cool. So I smoked out, and then I walked to WrestleMania. And there were, we had eight tickets, four, and then four, basically. And we were the last rows on the lower level, right in front of like where the handicapped people would sit. And it was perfect because there was a restroom. The restrooms were right there. There were food and beer right there. It was one of the easiest thing to get anything. Some people were complaining, like people who were on the upper deck were complaining that it was hard to get food, hard to get drinks or whatever, but it was easy for us. So Kaylee Ray shows up, and she's with this really a pretty girl. And I'm like, okay, she looks familiar, but then she introduced herself to me, and I was like, I don't know any Stephanie. I don't think I know her. And then, of course, within minutes, you know, I was stoned. I kind of forgot her name. So I asked Kaylee Ray, I go, what's your friend's name again? And she goes, oh, Stephanie. I go, you know, she looks exactly like Nixon Noel. And she's like, oh, it is Nixon Noel. She just gave me her, like, real name. So that she's on the NXT roster, but she's been injured the last year. But she's getting ready to come back. So I thought that was pretty cool. So, yeah, so I'm surrounded by beautiful women, basically. And so WrestleMania, you know, some people like WrestleMania, some people don't. I thought the Ronda match was one of the best matches of the year so far, the way it was worked and everything. I thought Ronda did great. Sure. I thought that was a highlight. Should have been the main event, but it might not have been as exciting as the main event because the crowd probably would have been dead by that point. But up until her match, it was an incredible WrestleMania and everything. But the best part was not even part of the matches or anything. So we're there sitting there and you know, hanging out, and I had a beer or two, and Kaylee Ray's having a beer or two. And so we're sitting there, and then these two large guys just come up, and they end up sitting next to, on the other side of them. And this one dude, he's a black guy. He's about 6'5". He's about 350. Just this big, giant, fat dude. And he's drunk already, and this is during the pre-show. And he starts bugging them about, because he asked them who they had, Nakamura or AJ, and they said Nakamura. So he was actually being funny at first, but then it just kind of got annoying because he kept saying the same thing. So then the girls were like, could you please leave us alone while we watch this battle royal? We want to see our friends wrestle, and please leave us alone. So the guy, he left them alone during the match, and he would be a little loud, obnoxious, your typical drunk wrestling fan, you know what I mean, annoying, but not that annoying. And then the Ronda match started, and this guy gets up, and he starts talking some mad shit about Ronda. And also, gosh, shit about women. And
nice.
It was getting to the point where I'm like, I fucking need to say something. But before I could say anything, Kaylee. Yeah, like a lot of sexist shit. Yeah, exactly. Like being real chauvinist piece of shit, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, man, you know, I'm getting ready to tell this dude something. But I never had to, because Kaylee Ray jumped around Nixon. Got in this, like I say, he's about 6'5", 350. Got in this dude's face, starts screaming at him about disrespecting women, and you don't disrespect women, and she's not going to stand for it. And she ripped him a freaking new one for like about 3 or 4 minutes, it seemed like. It might have been shorter, but it seemed like that. This dude is just like, his eyes are like big, and he's like tripping out, and for the rest of that match, he sat down and shut the fuck up. And I thought that was so awesome. And then he ended up after that match, he ended up going and sat behind his friend. He went to the handicap seat, so his friend's like right in front of him. And I guess the friend got embarrassed or something, and it led to them fighting. And they're fighting the whole show, and you're hearing shit like, "At least I have a real job," and and shit like that. And it's just gradually getting worse. And then one went to the bathroom, and then the other one got up, and when the other one came back, he went back to his seat. So I'm like, oh, fuck, and shit. Here we go again. So him and his friend are still arguing, and now it's getting to the point where the big guy, he's cussing a storm up. And he's like, fuck you, and you're a fucking asshole. So once again, Kaylee Ray jumps into action, jumps up, jumps in front of his face, and starts telling him off about cussing in front of all these kids because there were a bunch of kids around us. So she cut another awesome promo on him, and then the guy just sat down once again, just defeated, tears in his eyes.
Good.
And then his friend goes, "Do you want to go?" And then all you hear is, "You fucking ruin everything." And they get up and they left. And they left during the AJ match where they said they drove 1,000 miles to watch AJ Styles beat Nakamura. It was the most perfect like thing ever. It was beautiful. It was just as good as Ronda's match. So shout out to Kaylee Ray for entertaining side action at WrestleMania. It was beautiful. And it was awesome. It was freaking awesome. So anyway, finally WrestleMania ended, which went on like 10 hours or something. It was insane. And crowd crapped on the main event. That was funny. And there were so many like matches where like, okay, Rusev is going to win because he's the most over. And then he loses to Jinder. And then Nakamura loses. And then Asuka loses. It's like, I wish I would have bet on all the underdogs because I would have made a lot of money betting on that show because a lot of things happened that you didn't think was going to happen. But after the show, we went and ate at this place, not too far. And then we went down Bourbon Street, me, Horseman, Dale, Sideswipe, and a few other people. So I kind of started to get tired. I left, I don't know, maybe around 4 in the morning. Didn't make it all the way to 6. And then the next day, woke up, checked out, hung out, dropped myself off at Horseman's room, hung out with them, had lunch, and then unfortunately had to come home. I saw Tessa at the airport, her and one of the other girls from Australia that's friends with her, but she was not wearing makeup. She looked like she just got out of bed, basically, so I didn't go bother her for a photo. I figured she probably wouldn't want to take one if she wasn't looking great, but she had a great weekend, the matches I saw of her. So, yeah, that was basically my Sunday. So, Craig, how did your Sunday go?
Started off good. Went down and got up semi-early for me and for the time I was up. And I hit a couple of record stores because I love record stores. Found a couple close to the hotel and just walked to them. And went to brunch. Brunch is very good. It's funny, Shotzi, I was standing by Peach, and Shotzi came in, and she went and hugged Peach. She goes, "Oh, my God, Peach, you smell good." And he goes, and Shotzi put her arm around me and hugged me. I met her one time, and she goes, "Oh, my God, it's you." And I said, well, hi there. Anyway, I was embarrassed. Anyway, you know, because good-looking girls embarrass me, apparently. But anyway, caught an Uber back to the hotel, and I went and took a power nap. And then Robin from the UK via Hong Kong, it's a long story, hit me up and said, "Do you want to catch an Uber to the show?" And then that Jen guy who you were talking about and who I also sold my extra WrestleCon ticket to, I caught them both and we got in an Uber. And here is my story. This very large and very dark gentleman picked us up, and everything stereotypical about black folk, this man was that. And he began to cut a promo as Ed would say, on all these MFers wearing these championship belts. What's up with these MFers and these belts? What MFing match did you ever win to get an MFing belt? Over and over and over, I was in tears in the front seat of this guy's car. I was howling. MF would never be nobody. Come on. And he just had the stereotypical black voice. I was dying. This guy was.
To be fair, the people with the belts do look stupid.
Oh, dude. I saw a man with six belts on him. He had two on each shoulder. He had one around his waist and one around his neck. I wanted to kick that guy in the teeth. You're a full-grown man. Go home.
There was
anyway,
if I had a belt,
he'd
be up on like up
the name
on my wall in a case or something. You know? It'd be up on my wall in a glass case or something just for...
I don't know. But that was comical. So I had the most... I tipped the guy $5, and he drove us like six blocks. I was like, man, this guy needs to start doing stand-up at WrestleMania weekends. So we got our... Brian actually put in for comp tickets, so I didn't pay anything to go to WrestleMania. Thank the Lord, because I took a bath on, unfortunately, some of Matt Cleary's tickets. I couldn't get rid of a few things, and then there was a hotel thing, and I ended up flying into Houston instead of New Orleans, and so Brian felt bad that I was eating a lot of this, and I wasn't going to ask his wife for the extra money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Brian came through with some comp tickets. Very nice seats, $250 seats that I didn't have to pay for. So that was a huge, huge
relief. Wait.
How much?
How much were the seats?
$250.
And you guys were on the upper deck?
We were in the 200 or the 177 level, which was, there's a little ledge that's right above the upper section. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not a full section. It's like a half section on the end. So we're completely on the end with a full view of the stage and a full view of the ring. So it was kind of like a suite, but there was no food or beverage served, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they were nice seats, and I got my buddy Jeremy a ticket as well, because he's probably going to be doing some work for the site artistically, and so we got him a ticket as well. So I was so disappointed. I thought, why in the world is the Nakamura AJ match not going on last? I had many questions about that. That should be going on last. If you're going to put the title on Roman, this is what I thought at the time. If you're going to put the title on Roman, the crowd's going to crap on it. So why not put Nakamura and AJ on last? The first thing that happened was Asuka loses. And I'm like, huh? Why are they doing that? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, maybe they're bringing somebody up from NXT and they're going to do a program with her. You know, I was just very confused. And so up until the Rousey match, I thought WrestleMania was very good. After the Rousey match, I thought, and this is an opinion that I don't know if a lot of people share, I thought the rest of the card was not very good. It was just good.
It peaked early.
I enjoyed Nakamura and AJ. It was a little slow, but I figured, okay, they must have something really huge planned for the main event. So the match was a little slow, and then Nakamura's heel turn. It was like, oh, that's awesome. Cool. And
yeah,
then
the
main
was
event
part
came
of the match,
out.
But after the match.
It's, unfortunately, you're right.
Actually,
and
I like
the main event
more than anything with the
dude,
chick and Alice Cooper's guitarist. That was so fucking awesome.
Yes. Nita Strauss.
I thought it was Lita Ford at first, but no, it wasn't.
Yeah, her name's Nita Strauss, and she's been playing guitar for Alice for about 2 years. She's extremely good looking. She's extremely talented. And Mick Foley has taken a liking to her. If you've seen him apparently Alice did a show and they were backstage and she was really nice and came out on stage while Cactus is in the crowd wearing an old school Cactus Jack t-shirt and played the whole show with the Cactus Jack t-shirt on. The, you know, the wanted one. I absolutely hated 65,000 people in that Superdome during that main event. That match, there was nothing wrong with that match.
The only thing I'll say about the match is there are too many F5 kickouts, too many F5s, I thought.
Sure.
I mean, maybe
those
two,
guys.
But, you know, it was kind of as absurd as when, you remember that Savage Warrior match where he hit him like at WrestleMania, we hit him with six elbows and he kicked out?
Right.
You know, it was just kind of silly.
Yeah. I thought the guys worked really hard. I thought the color at the end was brilliant.
He must have fucking took like a whole bottle of aspirin and drank a beer.
Oh, jeez. He probably ate 20 aspirin, I bet. And then Lesnar, I don't know if he pre-gigged and Brian's like, no, it's too high up in his hairline. And then the next night I was like, ah, crap, Brian's right. Just hard weighed him. I thought that match was good. Everybody else in the crowd did not. They decided to chant CM Punk. They decided to chant, this is awful, which it wasn't. I absolutely left the Superdome hating wrestling fans.
Yeah, we're just at the point where wrestling fans are just going to, they just want to disrupt everything, it seems to me, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like being martyrs for themselves, you know. I mean, like the Roman hate I never get because he's very, very good.
Yes.
I mean, nothing really wrong with him. And right. I mean, I know he's kind of been over pushed and has been told that he was like the chosen one that they were going to go with, so they rejected him. But there's nothing wrong with Roman. I actually feel bad for the guy.
Dude, it's been since Daniel Bryan didn't win that Battle Royal, the Royal Rumble, and he ended up wrestling Roman. It's been 4 years.
Yeah.
So Roman, I can't think of a bad Roman Reigns match. The guy is good. He's really good. They script him in his promos to not be as good. There were some promos very early on that just flat out sucked. In the ring, the guy is on, and he's always on, and it pisses me off when I got a bunch of stupid wrestling fans paying more attention to what the beach ball is doing than what's going on in the ring, and then crapping all over the match when they're not even watching it. Pisses me off.
It was weird because, okay, I went to 8 shows. That's the only time something like that happened. I mean, every other show, the crowds were super respectful of everything.
Yes.
Even Spring Break, they were wacky, but they were still respectful. You know what I mean? It was a wacky crowd, but it wasn't like – it was them being excited for the show and not being excited to put themselves over. And, that sucked. But like I said, it was a good match. I enjoyed that match. I enjoyed the AJ match. But the fans just by this point were done. The smart fans, you know, they saw – Zack Sabre and Will Ospreay and all these other guys, so they're going to hate the WWE just because, you know what I mean?
Right.
They're the indie marks. And then I think that a lot of the casual fans were freaking tired by that time also, so they went along with it. And
I guess.
It was just, it wasn't, I didn't enjoy that. I mean, it didn't ruin my WrestleMania. I actually kind of, to me, I started laughing about it, honestly. I think I just did that to keep from getting upset, and I just made it to me. Mm-hmm. It was funny. I laughed when Brock won because I just couldn't believe it.
The whole build up to the Roman Brock thing, you had to have Roman win the way it was built up, right?
Right. Right.
I mean, he was talking about how Brock doesn't care. I mean, he's a part timer. He doesn't care about anybody else but himself. I mean, it was like you had to have him win. And it made him look like a complete loser not to win. I mean, I know they're building to this. I fully expect Roman to win the title at the Saudi Arabia show here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
In the cage match. Because he's probably going to get a good ovation. I don't, you know, they had to take him to another country to get a good ovation for the guy. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just the way they built it up, it was asinine to have him lose like that.
It's,
I mean, it just made him look
like
a failure. Like Joe said on Monday night, he looked like a failure.
They've got to get him. They've got to get the title on him. They got to get him cheered, and then they got to put him with the biggest heel in the business as his first program, but not somebody that the crowd actually likes as a heel. So I don't even think you could put him with Miz.
I would just turn him heel, because sometimes the best heels become the best baby faces, you know?
Yeah.
Like it was Rock.
Yeah,
when he was booed out of the building, you know, he became a heel, and then he became even a heel. But now I'm not comparing, like, you know, they're totally different, because Rock has the charisma like half this planet. But
10 men, yeah.
You know.
The same thing with Stone Cold. I mean, Stone Cold wouldn't have become as good as a face if he wasn't so good at being a heel. Like, he was so awesome,
you just
started cheering him on your own. If they want the marks to stop bullying Roman Reigns, turn him heel. And they will slowly accept him, and then a year later, turn him back babyface when everyone's behind him. It's real simple. Just turn the dude heel. He's a great heel. He acts like a fucking asshole half the time in his interviews.
Sure.
He's got that smug-ass look. You know, he I think he would be a fantastic heel, but for some reason, they got to keep him babyface, and I don't understand it.
I mean, I had suggested, you know, like a few months back, and when they did the Shield reunion, I turned all three of those guys heel and have them be like the top faction in the company, you know, with like Roman be the champion, and then those two, and Ambrose and Rollins be like the tag champs, and just have them run Russia like when they first came in, you know. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because that guy he's really talented, and everybody knows that this is who Vince wants us to cheer, and it's just like a little kid that is told, hey, don't you go over there and touch that. As soon as mama's back is turned, the kid runs over there and touches that because he knows he's not supposed to. So Vince tells us, this is my guy, this is who I want you to cheer, and a bunch of little wrestling fans, like little kids, go, no, I'm not going to cheer him because you want me to. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, it's like I told everyone I was sitting with. I love pro wrestling except for one thing. The fucking wrestling fans. They're the worst part of it.
I said it before, and I'll say it again.
I don't know. I blame ECW for the fan shit. You know. It's just...
yeah. Okay.
In a way, because ECW, like, became, like... the crowds became as big a part of the show as anything. And I think other people picked up on it some ways. And maybe not in some ways, but still, you know. I mean, it's... I just miss the old school, you know, like, wrestling fans, you know, that hate the baby face. Love the baby face and hate the heels. You know.
Mm-hmm. It was good for ECW at the time, but it's not good for a billion-dollar company at the biggest show of the year. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Like I say, the thing I hate most about wrestling is the wrestling fans, you know. You know, but sometimes, you get to see Craig make all these funny faces, and you get to see Kaylee Ray stand up to a freaking giant.
Craig's responsible for killing all the angles when he does his shit on Live Raw, you know.
I mean, that's the worst kind of
thing. You don't get anything over, Craig's there. but like the Ronda match, that was my favorite match. I thought actually it was that Oscar and Charlotte with the best match.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
I mean, I didn't have a problem with her losing. Because I think there's a lot of money in Charlotte and Ronda, like, main event next year.
Absolutely.
If they want to go that way. Sometimes the win streaks, they kind of hold people back. And I don't know, you go with win streak for so long. And I don't know, it has to end at some point, but I didn't have a problem with it. But that mixed tag, I mean, that was the first celebrity matches. You know, that's probably the best. I mean, before that, I would say, like, Mayweather and Big Show, which was really good.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think this was the best. I mean, Hunter was awesome. Hunter probably put that whole match together, to be honest with you.
Of course he did.
Yeah. And, I mean, some people have problems with Stephanie, you know, like blocking the arm bar, but, you know, whatever. You got to build up to the arm bar. And it was good at the end, so I didn't have a problem with it. And I swear I thought she was going to tap, make Hunter tap out.
Oh, yeah, I was worried about that, too.
I my mom had wanted me to call her and let her know who won, because she likes Ronda, even though she doesn't watch MMA or really WWE, but she's, you know, Ronda's such a big celebrity that my mom, I forgot to call her, so when I got home, I had her come over and I showed her the match. And her favorite part of the match was when Ronda squared up with Triple H. She's like, oh, my God, I'd be so afraid to do that against him. He's so big and this and that. And then Ronda goes over and starts kicking his ass, and my mom is screaming like, oh, my God, like losing her shit. And like I say, she's not really a wrestling fan or whatever, but that spot got over. I thought that was great. The crowd – what was awesome is, okay, I'm in the last row of the lower level, right? So every single person, I don't know how, because it was hard to see the upper deck because we did have the roof over us with the monitors. So it was hard to get
right.
the scope of everything. But from the lower level, there wasn't a person who sat down that entire match. It was like a rock concert in some ways where we were standing up. We're in the last row, and we're standing up because everybody else is standing up. I mean, it was like the intensity of that match is something that I haven't felt at a wrestling show in a long time. I mean, it was exciting. It was great. Ronda did everything perfect. She didn't make one mistake. I mean, I'm sure it was totally, they practiced it forever or whatever, but she carried her own weight. She put on one of the best wrestling matches for a person having their first wrestling match. Yes, they had Triple H and Angle there to help out, but everything Ronda did was fantastic. She took awesome bumps from Kurt got thrown into her. It looked like she got killed. When she went into the post, she went into it like she went into it and took an awesome bump. I mean, I'm sitting there with Kaylee Ray, who's one of the best wrestlers in Europe, one of the best women wrestlers that there is going down, and she's there with her mouth agape because she just cannot believe how fucking good Ronda is. And you know what I mean? So she got the thumbs up from a bunch of pros that have been doing it for a long time. And that match was it was one of the best WrestleMania matches I've seen in a very long time, probably since the Undertaker, Triple H, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels matches.
Yeah,
that's fair.
The thing with Ronda is, she hasn't done too much talking because, you know,
right.
I mean, I'm kind of, you got to give her time with that. But, I mean, because I think when she's out there, she's so tickled as shit to be out there. She loves what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
That she's
yeah,
just
totally.
Got, like, that marked grin on her face all the time, you know what I mean? You know, she just,
yeah.
she loves being out there, and which I can understand. I think it's just going to take time, and it'll be fine. I mean, I see a lot of stuff, like with her and Charlotte, I see a lot of money there. I mean, they could eventually
yep.
do something with her and Shayna Baszler from NXT. They bring her up.
Oh, that'd be dope.
They could have Stephanie
yes.
bring up Shayna to be her.
Yes.
Like Ronda brings her out as her friend, but Stephanie had got to her, you know what I mean? And she turns on Ronda at the first thing and chokes her out from behind. And then you could build to an awesome program with the two of them.
Yeah, that's money.
Did you guys see the Shayna and Vermoon match from Saturday night at all?
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw, but I was
yeah.
kind of falling asleep.
I popped for the what I call the Lethal Weapon 2 spot when she rams her shoulder into the ring post.
Yeah.
like Mel Gibson did in the movie. I thought that was,
yeah.
yeah.
That was great.
Putting her shoulder back and sock it.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
I mean,
and then how she grabbed her hair
because really
she couldn't use her arm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. I got like 5 more minutes. I got to go. So I'll leave you with this story. So Monday, my buddies who are down from Seattle, they do morning radio, and they're in New Orleans. So I contact them, figure out where they're going to be, and they just happen to be on the same flight that I am coming out of New Orleans. I'm like, cool, let's go grab a bite to eat, and we'll talk shop, because not only are they morning radio guys, but the morning radio guy is also the ring announcer for Defy Wrestling. And so he's been training to become a professional wrestler, real nice guy, and a huge Pearl Jam fan. So we got a ton of stuff in common, and we became friends over the last, like, 3-4 months. So I get to the airport about 3 hours before my flight, because I got kicked out of my hotel room fairly early in the day. And as I'm going through security, I see John Bradshaw Layfield in the airport. And so I'm like, I guess I could say hello to him. Just maybe a handshake, because I don't really like the guy, and I'm still kind of mad about the whole Marlo Rinaldo thing. And he gets through security. I'm not bugging him. I'm putting my shoes back on, putting my belt back on, because I just got through security. And I walk over there, and he's putting his laptop into his bag, and I stick out my hand. I say, "Hi, Mr. Layfield. I'm a fan." He looks at my hand, and I know he looked at my hand, and he looked me in the eye and looked at my hand and looked me in the eye, and he goes, "Thanks." And he turned back around and finished packing his bag and left my hand sticking out there like I am some kind of a dork.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. And so I put my hand in my pocket and I walked away. And I sat there and I watched him. He was massively early for his flight. So as a guy who has knee and ankle problems, I know that I can't sit for a long time, so I get to get up and walk. He was doing the same thing. He was getting up like every 15 minutes, taking a walk. I see him walk over to the bar. I fire up the network and I start watching NXT from the night before, or two nights before, or whatever. And the irony and the hilarity of me listening to Mauro Rinaldo call and do a fine job on NXT, and then looking up and seeing John Bradshaw Layfield walking the airport was irony that I will never, ever forget.
Well, he remembers you from when he was broadcasting ringside and you ruined that Stephen Amell angle. Boy, would.
Or he just realized that Craig put on his shoes and probably touched his feet in dirty socks and was like, "How you doing? I'm not shaking your hand, though."
I guess what I should have done is I should have thrown up the longhorns and went, and then made a big
spike. Like Stan Hansen.
Yeah, that's what I should have done. And then kicked him in the face. Listen, fellas, I'm going to go have some dinner. I have to get up early for work, as most of y'all do. But, hey, this has been fun. We should do this again.
Hey, actually, I was going to mention that maybe we should do this, if you got time, in a few weeks. We should do, like, maybe a post-Infinity War show or something.
Oh.
If y'all be into that.
26th? Is that 26th? When it is?
I probably won't say it until, like, a week after, but... You know, at some point we ought to do like a Infinity War show if you guys would be into that.
A nerd cast.
Yeah.
I might be down for that.
Okay.
Yeah, it might All be, right, well, it's probably up. Better than talking about wrestling.
Yeah, hit me up and let me know. I'm going to go
okay.
have some food.
All right.
Gentlemen, have
All
a
right,
fine
well, thanks
evening.
Thanks, Craig.
Yeah, no worries.
All right, Katrier. I pretty much have told all my stories or all the stories that I could tell on the show, because there's a few stories I need to protect the people involved. So is there anything else you want to talk about that we haven't talked about, or any questions you have about the weekend?
No, I watched the Hall. I enjoyed the Hall of Fame. It was long. It's ironic because
I was a little kid.
Years ago, everybody was complaining that people didn't get enough time for their speeches, and now all of a sudden, everybody's mad about it.
Yeah. How was the little kid?
The kid was awesome. The kid should have been Braun Strowman's partner. You know, I mean, if he's going to pick a little kid to be his partner, he should have picked that kid. That kid had charisma out the asshole. I mean, he was really great. You know, and his speech was good. Mark Henry's speech was probably the best. Jeff Jarrett was very good. Hillbilly Jim, like I said, went too long, and I think it ended up hurting the whole show. Goldberg was okay.
I saw a lot
Dudley's
of tweets
okay.
about that.
Say what?
I saw a lot of tweets about people complaining about Hacksaw killing, I mean, not Hacksaw, Hillbilly killing the show.
Yeah, it was, he said he was going to go short, and it went like 45 minutes, so it was, you know, I mean, it just, and he didn't have, it was not a lot of much to say. It was more like an inspirational speech about opportunity or something like that. You know, so,
yeah.
I mean, I'd rather hear Mr. T talk about his mother, you know, 45 minutes than that. But it was okay. But Takeover, I don't know if you saw a Takeover show, but it was, as always, they're always very, very good, you know, so.
Yeah, I saw most of it, but I was really tired by that point because it was Monday morning.
Main event was really good.
Yeah.
I thought Ciampa and Gargano was really, really good. Some of that old school.
That's the only thing I haven't seen. I need to go back and see that. But I saw the rest of it, and
from what I saw,
it looked good. But
yeah, they're saying like, "Fuck you, Ciampa." The whole, you know, like an ECW crowd or something like that. It was a really great match. The ladder match was very good. These ladder matches all run together for me. They're just like big bumps, and it's hard to remember them sometimes. But it was very good. And Roderick Strong turning on Pete Dunne during the tag title match was a surprise, and I thought was very good. So it was good stuff. And WrestleMania, yeah, 7 hours. That's too long. WrestleMania would be 3.5 hours would be perfect, you know.
Well, one thing that I am glad about, there was one positive about the show being as long as it was, because when they went there last time, the crowd bottlenecked and nobody could fucking move, and it was a horrible scene. People were just stuck, couldn't move. Everyone's on top of each other, basically. People were getting pissed off. It was just, I was dreading that this year, but I think enough people. And then they had that tailgate party right outside, so people were kind of like, it wasn't as much of a big rush to get in there, and I got in there easily, and then, you know, I was able to go to the restroom real quick. I was able to get drinks real quick. So going long helped as far as getting the people in the building for that building, because, it was horrible last time, but it was much better. But that's the only positive I can say about the show going so long.
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky I was at home watching it because I could take breaks. I mean, you know, it got to be where, like, it was 2 hours into The Last Jedi, I started to get restless and want to move around and get up and shit, you know, and I had, like, 30 minutes to go. But yeah, it was a good show. I mean, we didn't even talk about Daniel Bryan because, you know, he came back. I know he's one of your favorites. So I was shocked when he came back, you know. I wasn't expecting
that. Yeah, that was awesome, but they should have had him run wild at first and then fake an injury instead of doing it right at the beginning, because watching Shane for 10 minutes kind of brought the crowd down, because the crowd was still fired up and still hot. And they wanted Daniel Bryan, but then they had to wait for Daniel Bryan, and I think that kind of, the crowd could have been so much better for that match, and then it was downhill after that. So... But yeah,
he
it was also seeing him. I mean,
he was doing too much shit in that match, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, good God. I mean, they should have taken Shane out and they just had Brian work the rest of the match in like a handicap. I thought.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't like seeing him back. I mean, I loved it. Him and AJ Styles had a match the other night. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw part of it.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. It was good to see him back. And I mean, I wouldn't have him wrestle every week. I think he'd just do. I think they're not gonna. They're gonna wait and see how he holds up before they actually like really, like if they get him in the world title picture or something. So.
Well, anyway,
okay,
listen
to the show, because they're going to take, like, a mean piss.
Well, let me draw out the plugs real quick. Everyone, check out Block Talk Radio. You can always – I don't even remember how to do this no more. You can always download and stream our show at blocktalkradio.com/Cotrera and older shows at blocktalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can always download and stream our shows from angrymarks.com. And at iTunes at keyword Angry Marks. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo. And you can follow me on Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
Yeah, you can go to youtube.com/Cotrera, where you got a bunch of good old wrestling stuff up there and a bunch of different shit. So you can follow me there and on Facebook if you want to friend me. I probably won't talk to you much, but I'll confirm you. But, you know.
Cool. Well,
so anyway,
maybe we'll do an Infinity Gauntlet show.
Even if Craig doesn't have time to do it in a few weeks, we should do a post-Infinity War show anyway. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that should be pretty awesome. So if we'll probably talk to you then. If not, who knows? The way we've been doing shows the last couple of years. But we will talk to everyone soon. The show's not officially dead yet, so we're still...
Yeah.
Popping up every once in a while, so check us out when you can, and we will talk to everyone later.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is awesome to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.